Okay, so I want you to just Naomi. Naturally say Ruth and Naomi.
Naomi.
Okay. Ruth and.
Ruth and Naomi.
Okay, you do say Iomi, which is odd.
But do you? So you say Naomi. What do you say?
I say Naomi.
Naomi.
She says her actual name, which is Naomi.
Well, my daughter had a friend.
I say the name that Naomi. I used to, which is Naomi.
That's the Greek.
Drew, let's talk about all the times you've mispronounced Bible names on stage.
We will be here a long time.
Never, never.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit, do better so together we can be a little better. Welcome to A Little Better Podcast. Today, we have a new host. My name's Michelle. I think I've gotten to host maybe one time before. I'm our outreach director here on staff, and I'm joined by our pastor, Drew, and by Sean. And Sean, this is your first time on the podcast. So would you just take a moment to introduce yourself to us?
Sure. My name is Sean Bantle, and I think this year marks 30 years being here at this church. 30 years.
Amazing,
I know.
Sean.
So crazy.
My kids were really little. I have four kids, and actually two of them are now on staff, Nate Bantle and Brittany McCracken. And I think Nate's been on staff for 10 years. I actually was on staff for a little bit that
really?
You may not know that.
I
was Mark Nelson's secretary for the youth when he was a youth leader.
So keeping things straight for Mark Nelson. Love it.
Yep.
That's awesome. And you've had, I mean, a plethora of serving roles. Do you have one that really stood out, like one of your favorite serving roles that you've gotten to do?
Well, I was in the choir.
Okay.
But that I probably wouldn't, I don't know if that was serving, but I did work with the youth for a little bit. I was a sixth grade youth leader, and I enjoyed that. So
you enjoyed that, huh?
I enjoyed it, yes.
Some people really do.
That's miraculous.
Sixth grade girls, you have no problem of getting them to talk, but it's maybe getting them to be quiet.
I also was a sixth grade girls small group leader. A lot of stories about hamsters and like pets and stuff like that, but like good at sharing.
Yeah.
I actually was a co-leader with Brittany for a little while when I first came on.
I do remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're in the choir. Do all your kids' musical giftings come from you?
No.
Is that where they come from?
Yeah.
I don't even think I'm that gifted at music. But I did play the piano a lot after they went to bed. So maybe it just, kind of seeped in there a little bit.
Like baby Einstein.
But yeah.
Sean and the
while they
piano.
Were sleeping.
Well, we're just thrilled to have you and to have just some of your wisdom and insight that you've picked up from being a part of our church and from following Jesus for so many years. The book of Ruth has been amazing so far. I've just really enjoyed studying this on a large scale. Like, the book of Ruth is always what you study at like a women's event or a women's conference. And it's like, this is good stuff. Like, we can be studying this with everybody. Mm. So just love studying it. So maybe, Drew, can you just give us chapter 3? What's your 60 seconds about chapter 3?
Yeah, we begin to see the redemption of Ruth through Boaz. So we have this cultural moment on the threshing floor where Ruth listens to her mother-in-law and goes and lays at Boaz's feet, ultimately just to say, will you redeem me? And so we begin to see that guardian redeemer redemption process take place, and really a beautiful picture of God's redemption in our story. And we see Boaz and Ruth's character, their little decisions that had big, profound impact on their life.
So
and
true.
So such an amazing story. And like just to really build off of what you said, it's been really fun to just zoom in on a hero, a woman hero of the Bible, and just see how amazing Ruth's story really is and how it really penetrates our story today.
Yeah. Thank you. I love that. Sean, what have you been enjoying from the book of Ruth? I'm sure you've studied it lots of different times. What's standing out to you this go around?
Yes, I really do love the book of Ruth. And since Drew started it, I've been listening to his messages and other messages as well. And the story is amazing. Mm. And you just see God's fingerprint throughout it. But I think what really I resonate with is Naomi and her life. And I just understand her like she lost her husband and her two sons, and how she just feels like God has dealt with her bitterly. And she says to call her Mara, which I noticed God never honors that throughout the whole book. He never calls her Mara.
Oh, you know, even though
like we may feel very sad in life and want to go a certain direction. But like even this week, like reading the first four verses, you see a little glimmer of hope in Naomi's life. And, you know, like I said, when it first starts, she's very sad, probably depressed. I can't imagine losing your husband and your kids. And, but then she has, Ruth by her side. That's, a good friend. Even though she's a daughter-in-law, she's still a good friend too. And, that kind of sometimes happens in life too. Like when you have someone, when you're not believing or you're having a hard time in your life and you don't understand what's happening, you can have that friend to walk beside you and encourage you and help you to continue to see God's fingerprint through your life.
Yeah, I love that. I think this whole book is just all about the ways that God provides. And we watch it happen over and over again, despite these like really, really tragic circumstances. God is providing. First, he provided, you know, he provided Naomi with Ruth to be faithful to her and to go all the way back to Israel with her, to stay by her side, to work in the fields. And now we're seeing this faithfulness, and like God is now like turning the tides, and Naomi is getting ideas and she's coming back to life. She's seeing God providing for her. She's warming again. And now she's to the point where she's thinking and planning on Ruth's behalf. I know how we can do this. And you just, there's so much of the story that's not written. I mean, I would love to ask God a lot of questions about this story. Are there any things that, you guys are like wondering about, like, as you're reading the story, things that little bits and pieces of the story that you wish you had more clarity on?
I think we talked about one at pre-preach, just the tension of like Ruth is a foreigner, right? And how much knowledge does she have of, you know, Yahweh, the God of the Jewish people, the Hebrew people? And when does she, you know, is she making a lot of these choices in like just in her own goodness, or is like, you know, we even talked about like, was her conversion the moment she chose to say, no, your God is my God? And so like, there's so much, like there's gaps there. And like, I always wonder, like, you know, I've read a lot of scholar material on like, how much time is this story, right? Like you read the story and you read the whole story in like one sitting and you're like, oh, this happened so fast. But like, you know, as we all know, when we're suffering, like days draw out and hurt has a tendency to feel like forever. This obviously wasn't just like, oh, 4 days in their lives. This was a period, a season of time. And so it's so easy to read the Bible thing. You're like, oh, their problems were solved so fast.
It is. It is. Yeah. There's all these like periods of transition in our life. And sometimes we think, oh, the Bible stories, you know, like God comes through in these big ways. Like, where are you? And we forget that there's these years of like, you know, like traveling with your mother-in-law to a foreign country and living in a cave and gleaning from the field. It's just hard work that Ruth has been doing. So this is a really big, like, it's memorable, but this is a one glimpse of a long story of faithfulness and transition that have been happening in her life and in Naomi's life too.
I wonder too, like in the first chapter when Naomi's husband dies, and then they know that, you know, that there's 10 years that she's with, that Ruth is with Naomi and the two sons. If at that time that Naomi is speaking into Ruth's life, and then now the tides turn. Because she's like, my God, your God will be my God. And so she knows about Yahweh, or is that what they called him at that time? So like you wonder, it's like, okay, now, like Naomi maybe was the believer because she lost her husband, but she still had her two sons. And so maybe she was still strong for the Lord and still being a testimony. And now this tragedy happened, and she, you know, the tides turn, and Ruth is now speaking into Naomi's life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're just being a support to her.
Exactly. Yeah. Drew, as you were studying for this, what are the things that you didn't get a chance to include in your message? What are the things you learned or the things that you studied that just didn't fit in?
Yeah, I mean, like, more detail on the laws, right? Like, in Guardian Redeemer, there's just a lot of scholarly work on the nuances of that and how it impacted just the culture around them. I think there's more to that. Even tying it, you know, more specifically to Jesus, I think I would love to spend more time camping out there on just that whole idea and how it really is a picture of what Christ has done for us. And just like diving into more of those details of Naomi's life and Ruth's life. You could really mm-hmm. do a series on Naomi, on Ruth, and Boaz. Yep. You know, like you could break this story up into a long segment. So like just looking at the nuance of each character and how they're responding to the situations that they face. Because really, each character is coming at the story from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be cool to like pause and just like, oh, let's do character studies in the middle of this series on Ruth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I think for me, I've been just thinking a lot about this, the threshing floor and the significance of what that represents because, you know, it's harvest time. So it's a time when the threshing floor is literally full of God's provision. Mm-hmm. And so for a culture that goes hungry if they don't grow enough food, it's a huge deal to see all that food come in. And this is just like, again, another, it's like this whole book is just like, and then God provided, and then God provided. And the threshing floor is where God provides literal life for these people, and then is now providing also for Ruth. And just this past week, a few of our pastors and myself were able to travel to Malawi to visit one of our global partners, Global Lift Collective. And when we went to one of the visits, it was harvest time in Malawi. So I was like, oh my goodness, our church is about to preach on Ruth going to the threshing floor. And here I am in Malawi, and they were like, threshing, they were winnowing the soy, which means you're separating all the good stuff from the straw and rocks that you don't want. And so they literally, I was sitting in a village and just like winnowing this soy with ladies thinking, this is what's happening live at our church in our story that we're reading, you know, and God provides. He provided for the village that we went to visit. And really the main story that was happening in the village that we visited in Malawi was actually about a widow. So it was pretty wild.
That is crazy.
This widow, she noticed that there was just a lot of children that were orphaned and needed a place. And so although she was a widow, she took them in. And so she was taking care of over 10 orphans herself. And they were all sleeping together with animals in one hut. And so the local church had come together and was building her a house. And she was older, so they were helping her with the harvesting because it's manual labor. Yeah, it's really hard work. Yeah. And so lifting and like gathering all of that, it was just really hard. So we sat with her and we were taking off the corn kernels and winnowing the soy and doing some of those like tasks, but really amazing to see the way that God was working through widows, not just to provide for them, but to use them to grow the church.
Yeah.
I was just blown away by these, you know, these connections.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about Ruth's story, like God is providing for the church through Ruth, who is a widow, who is in the lineage of Jesus, right?
Yeah. So, yes.
And a foreigner.
Yeah.
Not an Israelite, not mm-hmm. a Jewish person, a mm-hmm. Moabite, right? Yeah. And so like there is so much goodness there. And even culturally, like you think about even what you were doing, you know, we think of farming and in our culture, that's grueling work, but it's still with machinery,
yeah.
right? This is farming with absolutely no motors, no machinery, just straight hands.
And a spade.
And body. Yeah. And yeah, maybe some metal, you know, machete cutting down or whatever. But it's just the grueling work. We don't understand the gruel that Ruth went through every day. Like bending over, sweating, hands cut, like all the things, right? It's just like, dang.
Yeah.
I did hear somebody say, when you look at all the pictures, she looks beautiful and she's not sweating at all. And that's not at all.
The weed is yeah. blowing perfectly yes, behind yes. her.
Her hair is, yeah, I know. That's not what it's like to work in the fields. Not at all. Drew, one of the other things that you really highlighted was the way that as we press into God, it really, He helps us to continue to refine our character. Mm. We see this like really, really strong character in Ruth and in Boaz and grow, and even in Naomi there, like, and walking through really hard circumstances and leaning into Christ. So what would you say to somebody who's listening and, they feel like they've been doing that, but they haven't had their threshing floor moment? They've been following Christ, they've been doing their absolute best and pressing into Him in these moments where their character is being tested, but it feels like God isn't speaking. Mm.
Yeah, I would say you're missing out on the gift that you already have. And what I mean by that is, we often in these moments, right, we are choosing the right choice. I think sometimes we choose the right choice because we want the blessing from God and we forget God is the blessing, right? And you might, just being real, you might not get the redemption Ruth got, but you are getting Jesus, right? And so God uses these hardship moments in our life to ultimately, the blessing is that I draw closer to God, not that my circumstances change. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to get to that point where we realize that Jesus is the gift. He is the redemption that we need. And even if God is not coming through like you want, or you're not seeing light at the end of the tunnel, there's still hope there because you are drawing closer to Jesus. And I have to remind myself this all the time. When things don't go my way, I say this to my wife, I can't wait for heaven. And I want heaven, not because Jesus is there, but because of all the goodness that comes with Jesus being there.
Yeah. Be done with all the hardship and all the good stuff. Yes,
exactly. And all the gold and like everything's provided for. And I fail to realize that the gift of heaven is the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing that I'm trying to learn in Ruth is I'm after the redemption, but not the circumstantial change of redemption, the redemption that Jesus is working in my character and it just being with Him.
Yeah, that's really good. Sean, yeah,
I think I agree with everything that you said too. It's just all those little small decisions that we make in our life, but to realize that God's not done with our story yet.
Yeah.
It's still unfolding.
That's right.
And like where I am today, if I would have given up like 20 years ago, I would be in a total, I might be bitter, Naomi was.
Yeah.
But you just keep on seeing God's fingerprints in everything that happens. You see, how people pour into you when you're down, and you just keep on going and just keep on trusting God to write your story and keep on trusting Him.
I think of that song, it's on Caleb all the time, of the like counting your blessings, and there's like, you can count your blessings and you can never stop. Like there's like infinity blessings. And I think for someone who's not seeing, like, I just think stop and be grateful for what you have, right? Be grateful for even the season that you're in. And it's like you said, like, you will, if you see it with gratitude and thanksgiving, you begin to see the things that you didn't see that God is actually redeeming and how your circumstances are changing, or maybe not your circumstances, but you are changing.
Yeah.
And like gratitude opens our eyes to what God is doing and how He is faithful in ways that we can't see when we are bitter, when we are angry.
Right.
And I think, I think that's really important.
Yet maybe a small decision would be, today I'm just going to find one thing that I'm grateful for.
Yes.
Just one thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that concept of just remembering that our ultimate provision is Jesus.
Yep.
Like, this isn't a story about a marriage. I mean, I know, like, there's lots of, like, Christian love stories out of this, and it's like, did Boaz really love Ruth? And it's like, we don't know. Like, maybe he wanted to marry her, maybe he didn't, and he was just being faithful.
Yeah.
That's really a wild guess, right? That would be one of the questions that we could ask God someday. Yeah. I've definitely heard a lot of, like, interpretations out of this for, like, Christian women, where it's like, be praying for your Boaz. And it's like, no, I am praying for Jesus to keep filling me up and allowing me to follow him. And so I think this is one of those stories that we have to make sure that we see the real, you know, the
it's
real
not
things.
A Hallmark movie.
This is not a Hallmark movie. No. And I mean, I have read stories and things like over the years, and like I'm single and like Ruth is single. And I just think about all, you know, just all of the things that entails and how like wonderful it is that she ends up, you know, getting married and this with this story, but that's not it for her. Like, I feel like the big thing in her life is she made a commitment to Jesus and Jesus is there for her in whatever way he provides. Yeah. And like, that's the thing we got to take away from this book is that God is the God of the harvest and he will provide. Yep. Yeah.
And he is, right? Like, he is actually providing your himself. Redemption through this story, right? Yeah. That's the bigger picture that we have to see is Jesus is produced from this line. Like, the redemption is actually coming through Ruth,
right.
You know, and that's the best part of this story is our right. Savior is coming. He is, and that's the Old Testament, right? It's a foreshadowing of the redemption of our Savior. And you're right. So many of us get caught up in like, oh man, I just need a Boaz.
Ruth and Boaz.
And you're right. You do need a Boaz.
Yeah.
The truth is Boaz is Jesus.
Yeah.
And don't miss that, right? Like you don't chase a Boaz at the neglect of
Jesus. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love how Boaz is a type of Christ because you see him accepting Ruth, who's a foreigner, treating her with respect. Even when she's laying at his feet, he tells her to stay there until morning. So, and I mean, I think that's how Christ is too. He just accepts us as we are without any hoopla, you know, without any extras. He wants us to come to him as we are.
Yeah.
And he sends her home with a little extra. Take some grain, an epi of grain for your mother-in-law. Like, I just love that. Like, he does never send you away empty-handed.
Oh,
I mean, it might be what you imagine, but you're That's right. never empty-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Drew, why should we come back next week? What's going on in week four?
So, week four, you should come back because I'm not preaching. That's a good reason to come
Ooh,
back.
Ray.
Noah Bixby is actually going to land the plane. And we get to see the ending of the story, right? Mm-hmm. We get to see the more of Boaz's character and the final redemption. And so you don't want to get to this point and not see what happens, right? Like, we are not at the finish line. We're just seeing a glimpse of what God's going to do. And so chapter four is the end. And so... yeah, you didn't come to 3 weeks to not come to week four.
Oh, so true, so true. Now, we don't know where we are in our own stories. We could still be in chapter one or three.
That's right.
Sometimes
right.
we think we're in chapter four and we're not.
That's
you
right.
know, surprise, you're in chapter one still.
Yep.
But we know that this story is going to give us some conclusion. So, Sean, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And Drew, just always love to hear more of what you were going to preach on and just didn't have time. So thanks to both of you guys. And don't forget to join us back here next week for week four of our series on Ruth.